We're thankful for your presence. It's been a great blessing to be here. If we have any visitors among us, we're grateful that you're here. And I pray that you're encouraged. We want you to know that you are an encouragement to us. And we want you to know also that you are wanted and that you are needed. So this evening, we're going to continue with our sermon series through the book of Acts. I've got a couple more. I think we're going to go ahead and finish out the book of Acts here in a couple, maybe 3 weeks. We may have a third one there. I was thinking about maybe, I was looking at my records. We haven't done a series through the book of James in a while. It's been about 4 years. So here in a couple months or so, it'll have been 4 years. And I always think that's a beneficial book for us to consider. And I want to do this lesson here this evening to match or to go with or to complete maybe our lesson from this morning on faith. And our main study text is Acts chapter 17. And, you know, we're told here that the Bereans were a noble-minded people. And these are some folks that understood where faith originates from. If I can draw your memory back to this morning here. And so they searched the scriptures daily. But before we get into the text, we're going to have two main points this evening. I just want to take a moment here and just think about a couple things. You know, I'm sure we would all agree that Bible study, Bible knowledge, Bible application are absolutely critical as we think about where faith originates, right? So if faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17, it's critical. And I know we would all agree, Bible study is absolutely critical because that's where our faith comes from, what's been revealed in the word of God. And so I wanted to ask, you know, how's your Bible study lately? Right? Are you know, you growing? Are you stagnant in your study of God's word? Are you kind of hit and miss? Where are you at, right? Nobody really knows that, but you, maybe your spouse or family can kind of pick up on your Bible study or lack of Bible study. Maybe your kids or your grandkids, your wife, your husband, they're like, yeah, he, she, you know, every morning they used to wake up and open up that Bible with a cup of coffee and they, you know, every day, but now, you know, it's been a little while. But for the most part, only you and God know how you're doing in that area. So, you know, are you diligently seeking God through his word? Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I want us to think about three goals here real quick with a couple passages. That there in Hebrews 11, but also in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Right? So number one, are you diligently seeking the Lord? Right? Are you willing to test yourself, examine yourself? Right? And that's something that we need to be willing to do on a regular basis. Right? Just that self-inventory. You know, no, I haven't been studying as I should. Right, I really need to get back to studying the word because remember, this morning, that's where faith comes from. And it comes from the revealed word of God. So if you're not feeding your spiritual side, you're going to die, you're going to be stagnant, then you're going to die. Right? And, you know, once your faith is dead, it's very difficult to feed that which is dead. And so are we willing to be honest in that and examine ourselves and receive the word with readiness or eagerness? And so you kind of put it all together here before we look at our main study text. You know, where are you? Are you willing to be honest? Diligently seek the Lord. Receive his word with all eagerness. Examine yourself in that process. Right? Because it's hard to move forward and fix what needs to be fixed if we're not honest that something's, you know, broken. Something's not where it ought to be. So in our study text, if you want to jump over there to Acts chapter 17, 10 through 11. I'm sure most of us know this passage very well. Paul, of course, has run out of Thessalonica, and so now he's here in Berea, right? He goes to the synagogue of the Jews, and New King James says that these were more fair-minded. Your translation might say noble-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness or eagerness, and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Right? And so they were ready, they were eager to receive the word of God, to open up their scripture. Of course, at that time, the scripture they had was the Old Testament. You see Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. They could see if Paul, what he was telling them about the one to come, the Messiah, the Christ, was what the Old Testament talked about, so they could search it and find Jesus. So therefore, many of them believed. Right? And how we talked about this morning, purpose of the Word of God, Romans 1 and verse 5, is to bring about an obedient faith. For you to search that information, to examine it, make a rational decision concerning who Jesus is. Right? Giving you that evidence to believe and then do something. Take action concerning that faith. And the Bereans here had two things going for them. Right? And we need these also today. Right. Well, number one, they received the word of God with all eagerness or readiness. And then number two, they searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was true. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, I understand that just by the nature of, people being people, our study abilities are different, right? We have different education levels. Some have better reading comprehension. Some people get to go to preaching school for years and learn some of the Greek and a little bit of the Hebrew and can look at the language and do all that kind of stuff and have the blessing of being able to, as my job, to study the Word of God every day for long periods of time. I get that. We're all different situations, but I think here's the key. Are you trying? Right? Are you putting in effort? Are you diligent? Right? I think that's what God is concerned about, that you're trying, right? With a good heart, an open heart, a willingness, to do your best. Right? And of course, we all need guidance. Right? And, in our Revelation class for Wednesday, I need a lot of guidance. That's why I have a stack of books like that from different authors that have spent a whole lot more time in that book than me, right? So we all need guidance and help, and that's good, and that's wonderful, and it's needed many times. Listen, your Bible, of course, it's the sword of the Spirit, and God's Word is to be everything to us. Everything, right? Because for in it, the Bible, we find the very words of life, the very source of our faith. And my duty as a gospel preacher is to, of course, teach you the Word of God, but also to challenge you in these areas. But also understand this. We're not reading to gain knowledge so that we can win an argument, so we can be great at Bible trivia. Listen, Bible knowledge, knowing a lot of facts, let me say this, knowing a lot of facts about your Bible, you could... memorize the whole Sermon on the Mount. You could have Paul's three missionary journeys down, absolutely memorized. Listen, knowing that will not save you. You can know a lot of facts, but Bible knowledge is not going to save you. It's how you apply it. Remember what Jesus says, just real quick here, in John chapter 5, beginning of verse 39, he tells the Jews, the religious elites, right, the people that were supposed to be smart concerning Scripture. He says, you search the Scriptures daily, or you search the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and it's they that bear witness about you, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So, these folks, they knew their Bibles. They knew Scripture. They absolutely did. They knew what God said concerning the coming Messiah. They knew all that. Right? They could have quoted Psalm 22 or Isaiah 53 to you. Yet in their study, they never let it bring them to Jesus. They failed to apply it. So that's me setting the stage for two main points this evening concerning our text here in Acts chapter 17 with these noble-minded Bereans. So I want you to start off by thinking, with that in mind, how do you receive the Word of God? How do you receive the Word of God? Acts chapter 2, a great example, staying in the book of Acts here. And this really goes back to a lot of what we're talking about this morning. How do you receive the Word of God? You know, saying you receive the Word of God, you know, it sounds so religious and so pious, but how do you receive the Word of God? Well, what's your response? Right? Especially the difficult stuff, especially the portion that convicts you. Right? How do you receive that? That portion of the Word of God that challenges you, right? Because God doesn't call us to the minimum. He calls us to the maximum, I would say. Right? And if you're down here barely with the minimum, how do you receive God's word when it's convicting you and challenging you or calling you to repent or highlighting that you might be living contrary to the word of God? How do you receive that? Or if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, how are you going to receive these words? So here, first gospel sermon, of course. So Peter's going to stand up. Right, preach the first gospel sermon after Jesus died and ascended to the Father. In verse 14, as he begins, Peter standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." Right, he's going to give words in a sermon concerning Jesus to bring about a response. Now look at verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Right? So there's some words here concerning who Jesus is and what he accomplished. Right? And so we've got people here that the words are being spoken to them. Now what's their response going to be? Now, historians will tell you there could have been up to 1 million people there. But we do know at least 3,000 that day, if you actually went down to verse 41, responded. Well, why did they respond? Well, those words, of course, cut their hearts. Right? Concerning who Jesus was and the sin in their lives, they're convicted of that. They're convicted of the words of God. How do you receive the words of God? Right? That's what God is constantly trying to do for us, to convict us of our sin, to challenge us to more faithfulness, right? To change us in that you know, you call it your sanctified walk, or walking worthy with our theme this year. Now, of course, we know the response there in verse 38, repent and be baptized for the removal of your sins. And then you go down to verse 47, those that received his word that day were added to the church, right? So you see how it goes when the Word of God is taught in its truth, in its simple purity. If you have a good heart, you're going to allow it to convict you, right? You're going to allow the Word of God to challenge you and to change you. How do you receive the words of God? And here we know that their number continued to grow from that point. You know, we're absolutely so blessed to have our New Testament. You know, they had to work hard, right? These folks here in Berea, listen, they had to work hard to understand the message of Christ. Again, having only what we call the Old Testament. You know, and so keep in mind, as we read of the Bereans here, right, we come to our text, we see Paul having been beaten in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica. Now he comes to Berea, and Luke tells us that these Jews were more noble, right, noble-minded than those in Thessalonica who rejected the message of God. And by the way, that word noble or fair-minded, depending on your translation, there in verse 11, it's the idea of being honorable or even carries the idea of being candid. Open-minded, because you think about it, what made these Jews so noble? Well, it's the way they received the word and the way that they examined the truth. Right? These were truth-seeking people, and let that be said about us. you know, it may not be popular, it may go against our culture, you know, it may not fill this auditorium overflowing with people, but it's the truth. Right? Let that be said about us, that they weren't self-seeking, but they were truth-seeking. Right? And so you had these folks that had a desire to hear this message. Right? And their ears and their minds were open, they were receptive, willing to receive. You know, several times in the ministry of Jesus, and again, several places there, especially with the seven churches of Asia, in the book of Revelation, we hear that phrase, he who has ears to hear. And the idea behind that is someone that's ready, willing to receive the message of God. It's about a receptive person hearing the message. Now, let's say this. You know, you can't make somebody receptive. You can be the best speaker, best orator. You know, you just be a powerful individual in your teaching and your preaching. You can do everything right. Right? You can understand how language works with tone, pitch, and modulation in the voice and play to emotions even or whatever. No matter what you do, you cannot make people receive the word. Right? Each individual, they need to choose. They have to choose. And so the challenge here I want you to think about before going to our second main point is to be like the Bereans. I think every preacher that's ever preached has done a sermon on, you know, being like the Bereans, modern day Bereans. And again, we're even a much more blessed than they are. We have the completed Bible with the New Testament. Right, with 2,000 years worth of a study to look back on. Right, so we have it so blessed, and I was going to bring my phone up here and listen. You know, you don't even have to have your Bible with you. You can open up your phone right now. You can search the scripture in any language you could ever think of. Right, I tell people all the time, download Bible Hub. Right, and you want to see, you know, well, what's this word noble mean here in verse 11? And you just tap it, and boom, you go on to, you know, the Greek, and you can see what it's the idea in the original language, and you know, the tense of the verbs and all that. You have so much in your hand, right? And you know, you want to cross-reference that with anything. You know, now you can even do it on your phone. Hey Siri, what's the Greek word for noble in verse 11 of Acts 17? It'll give it to you like that, right? So we have access to so much more than they did. But yet they were noble-minded. They just had the Old Testament in scrolls, no less. And they're willing to take that time, invest that time with eagerness and open that up, make sure what they're being told is the truth. This is just Jesus that he's talking about. Is this the Messiah that Isaiah wrote about, right? And so they did their work. You know, I want you to think about, you know, when you came here today for worship this morning and or this evening here, did you come with your heart and your mind ready to receive the message? Right? When you came to Bible class, was it with the intent to receive the Word of God? You know, and understand how his word can transform your life. You know, when our Bible remains closed during the week, you know, it's difficult to then open our minds on, you know, Sunday. You know, so what are you doing in your life to prepare your mind to receive the word of God each time you open it and read it and study it, right? What are you doing in your preparation concerning receiving the word of God? All right, number two, our second main point this evening, do you search the scriptures daily? Like these noble-minded Bereans here, who wanted to make sure that they were being told the truth. Do you know if I'm telling you the truth? Or your Bible class teacher's telling you the truth? And many times, you know, you're not doing it to try to catch them, you know, in telling you something false, but it's just, hey, that's, you know, at least confirm it. But you know, if you're being led down a dangerous path, do you know that? are you able to identify? You know, and at least go to the teacher, come to the preacher and say, you know, I don't know about this. Right, help me understand this better. Are you wrong on this, preacher? Maybe the preacher's wrong. Maybe the preacher misspoke. Right, but if you're not in the scripture, how are you going to identify that? Right? We need to be a people who, you know, we test the message about Jesus, like these noble-minded Bereans here. Now, also remember this. I thought this is important to add in here. Again, the only Bible they had was what we call the Old Testament. But I want you to think about just real quick, but listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3, 21 through 25. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. Right? He's talking about the old covenant. For if there had been a law given by which we could that could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Right now, I'm talking about the new covenant. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So after we got the new covenant, we don't need the old covenant. And so I thought that was interesting to add in here. You know, of course, the Old Testament. Jesus is in every book of your Old Testament. Right, and it's always pointing to the Messiah to come. And that's what they were searching, right? They were searching for the truth concerning Christ, and they were noble-minded in that. They were daily in that. They were consistent in that. Right, because everything's supposed to lead us to Christ. You know, the Jews in Thessalonica, they wouldn't search, right? They weren't willing to search to see if Paul's teaching concerning Jesus was true. They weren't willing to do it, right? They just ran him out of town. The Bereans, on the other hand, they searched it daily to make sure what they're being told is true, right? They just didn't simply want someone's interpretation of it, but instead searched the scriptures deeply to find out what it was that God was saying through his apostle Paul. And does that describe your search of the scriptures, right? And so the Bereans, I thought about titling this sermon Digging Deep into God's Word, something like that. The idea here, when I look at the original language, it's the idea of sifting scripture. Now, I've never personally sifted flour, but I get the idea. I see in our kitchen the little flour sifter. I understand how it works. So it's kind of like that, if you want a visual, right? They were sifting the scripture, right? They knew that they could hear God through scripture, that the Bible wasn't just a book, or as the Hebrew writer puts it, that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, and listen, it doesn't take a preacher or an elder or a teacher to examine truth for you, but rather it takes you having an open heart and an eagerness, a readiness, a willingness to go into the Word of God and sift the Scripture. Right? To dig into Scripture. So the question again comes back, I believe, when we consider this. Do you have an open heart? Are you willing to receive the Word of God? You're willing to study it daily with diligence to pass the test? You know, and I just want you to imagine your spiritual life if you were like one of these Bereans here. And I want you to think about your relationship to God as seen in your study of His Word. And your understanding of His ever-present help through the Holy Spirit. Right? This is how the Holy Spirit helps us. Right? The God, Holy Spirit, guides us through His Word. I want you to think about contentment and peace and joy. that comes in that deep relationship, deep spiritual relationship with the Father, with God Almighty. And understand that it begins by studying God's Word. And here's a passage, part of this, that I finished the lesson with this morning, and I want to finish our lesson this evening with here in James. And this is what got me really thinking about James again, doing a sermon series through James. So, you know, having that deep relationship with God Almighty, understand that it begins with studying His Word, accepting and receiving God's Word. So how do you receive God's Word? So James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And you've heard me say it a dozen times. I'll probably say it another couple dozen times in the time that you know me, but that's talking about our response to the Word of God. It has nothing to do with our relationship with one another. He's talking about, how do you respond to the Word of God? Matter of fact, in context, if you go back to verse 18, he talks about the Word of truth. Look at verse 21, the verse I mentioned this morning, right? When he says, "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." Verse 22, "Be doers of the Word." Verse 23, "If anyone's a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." And then in verse 25, "The perfect law of liberty." So the context here is about the Word of God. The context here is how you respond to the Word of God. Right? So when the Word of God is preached, is taught, or you're doing your personal study, and you don't like what you see, or it's hurting you, or it's convicting you, right? It cuts your heart. Are you swift to hear it? Are you slow to speak against the Word? Are you slow to wrath against the Word of God? That's what we're being taught here in this section of James. You know, so think about the contentment and the peace and the joy that causes that good, deep relationship with the Father. And then make that joy complete, that contentment complete. All right? By taking the Word of God, receiving it with all eagerness, and applying it to your life. And know that it is the mind of God delivered to help you because He loves you. And respond properly. You know, make your faith a living faith by searching the Scriptures daily. Right? To understand a truth that brings about a proper godly repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. And let today be a day of renewal. A day of a recommitment, if you must, to your relationship with God that's found in understanding and growing in your Bible knowledge. And listen to God's leading and follow God's pathway. This evening, if you are here and you are subject to the gospel invitation, there's not a better time to respond. You may not get another chance. So if you need to put on Christ in baptism with a response of faith, let's do that. If you've done that and you've fallen away, right, or you just need help or encouragement, we'd love to help you in that journey of faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you as your family here this evening, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.